Welcome to the Verbal Graffiti Podcast, episode 7. This is a special episode where we're doing an exclusive interview with Biltmore Records recording artist Hugo DiCapo. Now, you can find this podcast on iTunes and Android. Our official website is verbalgraffitipodcast.com. That's where you can go to find additional information on us and the show notes for each episode. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. There's a closed group on Facebook where you can go to find exclusive content. We are also on SoundCloud. So thank you for joining in, and as always, we want to provide something of value that you can immediately apply to your life and share with others in the realm of business, finance, and lifestyle optimization. We're in the Charlotte market, so if you have a product, business, or service that you would like for us to promote for free, let us know. We're always looking to build relationships and see how we can help others accomplish their objectives. So if so, just email me at verbalgraffitipodcast@gmail.com. And yes, today we have an exclusive interview with Hugo DiCapo. It was a long interview, so we had to chop it up a bit. But overall, you'll get an idea of who the artist is and more about his goal to change the mindset of the current hip-hop or rap generation to be more positive and structured toward goals. So let's go ahead and listen in.
Hey, yo, what up, Hugo? What's going on, man?
What's up?
Everything, man. We're about to make some things happen. But yeah, welcome to the Verbal Graffiti Podcast. Like I told you, you're the first guest. And just a couple things I guess I want to discuss, because this is actually our seventh official episode of the Verbal Graffiti Podcast. And it's fitting because we're dropping a record tomorrow. But finally, you know, the record's going to be released. I'm excited about it. I wanted to kind of bring you on the show and let people know who you are and kind of get a little bit of your story. What have you been working on? What's going on with you?
Like, really working, just grinding. Like you said, we got this record coming out tomorrow called Dreaming.
Right.
So I'm really excited about that.
Okay.
Very, very, very inspirational record. Has an old school Nate Dogg feel to it. So right. I've been working on that, trying to get the video shot for that as soon as possible. But that's, you know, that's what we're working on right now, releasing that record.
Okay. And what was your inspiration for the record? What vibe was you in? You know what I mean? What were you?
I mean, it was like from since I was a kid, you know, I always dreamed about, you know, being on a stage or having a nice car or just, you know, experiencing life in a way I never experienced it as a kid. So that's basically where it was, you know, inspired from, like just dreaming, like, you know, just dreaming of being something bigger than, you know, what I grew up in or, you know, what I came from. So that was the inspiration of that record.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And we had an interesting conversation a few months back, and we were talking about how it's cool. Well, who made it cool? You basically said this, and I think we're just building on this idea. Like, who made it cool to carry guns? Can you explain what you're trying to say?
Like, I was actually listening to another interview, and I mean, I don't want to call the name of the rapper, but I got to thinking about it because he was saying something like, I get my, like, young boy to do this and do that to you or whatever, but I was thinking, like, whoever made it cool to, like, you know, I mean, I'm from that, too. Like, I can't, like, you know, just be like, you know, that ain't, you know, I'm right. From that, so I feel like I have the right to speak on it. Like, when I was young, I carried guns, too, but, like, somebody inspired me to do that. Somebody, you know, I was seeing people around me do that, but I just sat back and thought, like, whoever made it cool to really carry guns and, you know, why not make it cool to go to school and be a doctor? Like, that's what I call a G these days, you know what I mean? So I was like, whoever made it cool to walk around with guns or rob people or even sell dope. I mean, I know, like, with some places, some hoods, that's you know, that's all they see, so that's all they know. But my view is just like, let's just try to show the younger generation something different. Like, you don't have to, you know, go out there and sell dope or be in a gang or, you know, do this to be cool. Like, you can actually be the cool guy, but, you know, like what they call square is actually cool. Like I was like, I just want to reverse the mindset of the young kids. So that's where I'm at with it right now. And it also made me think about that one song that Pastor Troy had back in the day, like Vice Versa. Like, right. What if the mindset was vice versa, like what it is now? Like, I mean, it's getting there, though, because, you know, some of your best rappers right now don't really talk about, you know, like selling drugs or killing and stuff like that. You got your J. Cole's, your Kendrick Lamar's, your Big Sean's. Like, they like some of the even Drake. Well, Drake is like the lead dog right now. And,
right, you know, right.
So it's all right to be yourself. Like, that's what I'm like. Be yourself. Like, you don't have to try to be somebody else or thinking you got to do this to look cool in front of somebody else. Like, make the bully, like make the dude that think he's a gangster be like you. You know what I'm saying? Because right. You still fly. You still get the girls in school. Of course, that's still cool to us. You know, the dude that get the girl is the cool dude, but you don't have to be out there, you know, being tough and being all of that. And like I said, I can't speak down on it because I'm from that too. But I just, you know, I grew up and had to have a different mindset. So in my music, you might still hear that because it's just harsh reality.
Right.
But you know, that's not where I'm at with it right now. And it's just
right.
like
right.
I'm focused on, you know, trying to move the generation forward and you know, just try to change mindsets like we was just speaking about.
Right, right. Now I agree with that.
But my thing is, like, the effect you have on other people, to me, is what makes you the positive effect you have on other people, because you could have a negative effect also. But,
right.
like, to me, success is really, like, the positive effect that you have on other people, like, the people that are around you that you actually, you know, help and, you know,
encourage and inspire. Yeah,
encourage and inspire, exactly.
Right.
In a positive way, not
right.
just, you know, because it's. I mean, but it's getting better though. Like I mean, the music is still out there. You just gotta kind of, you know, search for it. It's still out there.
But, yeah, that's. Yeah, I don't think, you know. I'm not saying that nobody's doing it. You know, yeah. I think there is still positivity. It's just it's not exposed. So, but anyway. So the record is actually coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we have another follow-up project to that. If they see that on the website. The other song was called Living My Life, right?
Living My Life. Living My Life.
Okay.
And that goes back to what we were talking about. Like it's inspiring. Like, I'm not saying I'm talking about a whole bunch of, you know, go to church or nothing like that inspirational, but it's still like, just be who you are. You know what I mean? Like, don't try to follow no one else's path. Create your own. Like, create your own lane. You know, like that's just what I'm saying. And living my life. You know what I mean? Just live your life. Like,
right, right.
Try to drop jewels. Just live your life. Like, if you feel like you want to wake up and go to school and study, that's your lane. Like, you don't have to go out there and rob and steal or whatever. Like, that's your lane. Like, I mean, we're always gonna have that, but if that's not you, don't let it, you know, don't let somebody else persuade you to do it. So basically, the inspiration of the song is just live your life, be who you are. You know what I mean? Like, nothing is lame about being who you are. You know
right.
what I mean? So
that's true.
Be who you are.
Right now, this record is officially going out, you know, iTunes. Last one went out May 2013, you know what I mean? So here it is, 2017. But on this project, I mean, what has been going on the last 4 years?
Last 4 years, just grinding. Just, I mean, really, I took a step back to, like, really get my mind right and kind of figure out who I was, you know what I mean? Because, like, I fell into that trap, too, of, like, you know, with the certain music, like trying to follow someone else's path and, you know, trying to be the T.I. or the Jeezy. And, you know, I kind of, you know, fell into that too. So I basically was figuring myself out. Of course, I've been doing this. Well, let's start from the beginning. Like,
yeah.
I've been doing this writing since I was like 8 years old. You know what I mean? I'm from a small town called Vance, South Carolina, in Orangeburg County. the population is actually 150 people. You know what I mean? So 150 people is my population. Like, it has no stoplights in my little town. Like, the biggest building in my little town is an elementary school. That's the biggest building. Wow. So, like, people always be like, I came from the bottom. Like, I really, really came from the bottom. Like, it's no denying that. You know what I mean? Like I said, there's 150 people in my town. It's called Vance, South Carolina. You probably sitting there wondering, like, right now, what is Vance, South Carolina? You know what I'm saying? So I was just inspired, like, you know, somebody from Vance, South Carolina can actually try. Like, my goal is, like, somebody from Vance, South Carolina, a population of 150 people, can really get out here and try to inspire the world. And that's just my goal. You know what I mean? Like, I'm from the bottom, but my vision always since a kid was very broad, like, since a kid. Right. And, you know, that's where my motivation came from. Of course, I got into the streets and to the gangs and stuff like that, not proud of it at all. You know what I mean? But like you was asking, the past 4 years, I was just finding out who I was as a person, who I am as a man, and you know, I started, you know, actually putting my real life on music, because, like I said, I was guilty of not being myself also. So I feel like I can speak on it because I was that person, you know what I mean? Not being myself. So I have that experience. Like, I have the experience of being in the streets and selling drugs and doing all of that. But, you know, that's why I feel like I can speak on that. And like I say, it's not going to be all peaches and cream. I'm going to tell you the pits, the valleys of what's going on and the high points, too. So that's basically what I was doing the past 4 years, like, you know, finding myself, becoming the man I'm supposed to be.
Right. Now, that's what's up. Yeah. So I mean, when you started writing, you said you mentioned Vance, like, how did you get into writing? How did you get into music? Who were your inspirations back then? Like, who put you on to, like, hip hop or just wanting to be an artist?
It's crazy because I was writing because I seen, like, you know, cousins and stuff around me. Like, I didn't know, like, I used to hear music, but I didn't, like, you know, like, when you look at something and you just think that, like, the people that's doing it is not normal, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I heard rap, but I didn't think I could actually do that. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, it was, I'm thinking, like, these rappers were like superheroes or so. You know, like, you got Spider-Man, you know, you can't jump across the building. So you think, like, a rapper was like a superhero to me. Like, I didn't actually think I could do it. But I just remember one day I had a big cousin named Travis, and he was rapping, and I was like, dang, like, a regular person can do that? You know what I mean? And he was like, yeah, just go home and write it down. And I went home. I was probably like 8, 9 years old, you know what I mean? And I wrote it. I just started writing stuff. I mean, at first it didn't make sense, you know what I mean? But I'm just putting words together, just rhyming. And I was like 8 years old. But what really inspired me, man, is like, I didn't understand him back then, but I think I was like 10, 11 years old. I was back in like 96 or something like that. And I heard Jay-Z for the first time, and like, I didn't really understand, but I just knew to me, like, I was like, this dude is something special. You know what I'm saying? Like, I listened to the Biggies, the Pops, and like I said, they the greatest, and Biggie is definitely like the greatest, one of the greatest lyricists of all time. Tupac as well, like one of the greatest songwriters of all times. But it's just like Jay-Z stuck with me. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I like that dude. Like, I just like how he sounds. Like, back then, I didn't understand the streets and stuff like that because, of course, I'm 10, 11 years old. You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand what he talk about, but I know that I like listening to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I grew up and started, you know, understanding what he was talking about. It was just even more, like, rewarding for me. Like, dang, this dude right here is, like the best ever. You know what I'm saying? That's was the inspiration for me. Like, I got to say Jay-Z. I know a lot of people say that, but I got to say Jay-Z. Like, he just took it to another level for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nah, that's what's up. That's what's up. Definitely. I mean, Jay's definitely one of the best. You know, one of the goats. You know what I mean? But, you know, for me, when I was coming up, it was Eric B. and Rakim, same experience, but different artists. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, exactly. Eric B. and Rakim was just like, when I heard that, when I heard, you know, Check Out My Melody, just on a boombox in the 80s, up against, you know, the projects, just beaming, you know what I mean? It was just, like, crazy to me. It was like, it was definitely intelligent. It was cultured. It was science. You know what I mean? Like, it was a lot. It brought a lot. You know, my interest in science, and just it just brought a lot of different things that weren't prevalent in the music at that time. So basically, I listened to hip hop up until that point. When I heard Check Out My Melody, I started rapping. You know what I mean? I probably was rapping a little bit before, or trying to, but it really gave me a direction. Like, that's, I identified with it. You know what I mean? And yeah, I think with hip hop, it does that. You know what I mean? And
like, the crazy thing about me is, like, I'm not, like, really, like, you know, like, the most rapper stories is, like, you know, I grew up with a single mom, and, like, that really wasn't me. Like, I had my pops until I had my dad till I was, like, 14, 15. So he was there, like, most of my, you know, not really my teenage life, but my 11, 12, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old life, he was there, but, like, the time where I really needed him, like, growing, like, my young adult, my teenage life, he wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Like, my story is kind of, like, a little different because, like, I did have my pops. He did take care of me. But it was, like, having him and then losing him, like, you know, him not being around, I feel like it was even harder for me because I was used to having a father figure. Then all of a sudden, one day, it's just gone. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's just gone. It's just me, my mom, and my sister, like, just trying to figure it out. Like, I kind of jumped off the porch late. I wasn't really from, like, getting money in the streets like that until, like, it was just me, my mom, and my sister. Like, I had to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? I had to figure out how to take care of my mom. I had to figure out how to take care of my sister. Like, I didn't really have a blueprint on it. So that's what I think makes it a little more special too. Like I was okay, and then all of a sudden one day it's like is no one there to support or no one there to guide you through your life. I think, like, the most important time in a young man life, young black man life anywhere, is like his teenage years. That's when he need guidance. That's when he need the most guidance. And, like, that's where I really didn't have it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what makes that situation kind of special to me.
Yeah. No, I know. And that's the truth. I mean, that story is, that's something that people look to music for. You know what I mean? They find that guidance in the music that they're listening to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if they choose the wrong kind of music, you know.
Yeah, of course. You already know what the outcome is going to be.
All right. You started out with Biltmore Records.
2007.
First artist signed to Biltmore Records.
Yeah.
So over the last 10 years, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
We should have blown up by now. We should have did our thing. You know what I mean?
Let me talk about that. Let me tell you how Biltmore Records found me.
All right, go ahead.
Funny, man. I was just doing everything I could to just try to do music. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really. It's just crazy. I was just doing everything I could to do music. You know, like, back in the day. I mean, well, still to these days, you'd be having these online things where, you know, you win this battle, you get $100,000. Like, that's kind of how Biltmore Records found me. Like, right. I was just on there, like, just spilling out my heart. Like, we was just going at each other, like, making songs on this thing called Loud.com. Like, just, you know, going back and forth. And I was just competing with, like, rappers all over the world, like, just, you know, not really battling, but just going, like, music for music, you know what I'm saying? Just putting songs together and going just music for music. And I was actually holding my own. Like, I at first I didn't know that I was, you know, like, when you know everybody think they're hot, you know,
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
But I was always, like, the person that was, like, kind of like self-conscious, like, maybe I'm not really that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
maybe I think I'm the best, but really I'm not that. So kind of test out my skills with everybody else, because like I did music, I recorded in the studio, but you know what I'm saying? Nobody really heard it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Nobody really heard the music. So I moved to I moved to Charlotte, what, 06, about 06. And, you know, like I was just on my computer just recording music back to back and, you know, just competing with other guys online, just putting my songs up. They putting their songs up. I'm actually winning rounds and stuff like that. And I mean, I don't remember if you remember, but I think I don't even know how you got my number, but you just called me and was like, yo, what's up? Like, I was like, what's up? Who this? Like, Rick Cruz, Biltmore Records. Like, to me, like, that was the biggest thing. Like, it's crazy. It was, like, the biggest thing. Like, even though it was a small company, I just felt like somebody believed in me. You know what I'm saying? It was like, this dude actually believed in what I'm doing. Like, the only person that believed in me at the time was me and my mom. You know what I'm saying? So, and somebody else actually believed in me. So it was like just like a no-brainer. Like, this dude believe in me. I believe in myself. Like, why not work together? Why not do this? You know what I mean? Whatever happens, happens. And we've been working ever since. So grinding hard. You know what I'm saying? Just not trying to find that song, trying to find that, you know, that path, that wave, you know, to take us to a further place. But 10 years strong, man, and we still, you know, we still, you met me when I was literally a teenager, you know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. About 19, so, I mean, that's what's up.
Yeah, nah, definitely. And around that time, so, just so people know what was going on with Biltmore Records, like, I'm from New York. I had a record label in New York, you know what I mean? And when I moved down here, I continued to do music. I was producing. I was into producing. I didn't start a label until 2007, so I moved out here in 2001. But from 2001 to 2007, I had a studio in my house. I was rhyming, just making my own little music and working with artists, you know, like at the studio. I had a 2-bedroom apartment. One of my bedrooms was a recording studio. You know what I mean? We had the mics going into the bathroom. You know what I mean? With the closed door. But, you know, so while I was down here, I was doing that, just kind of putting things together. The internet wasn't what it is now. You know what I mean? The internet is such a powerful tool. But,
and it was just let me elaborate. It was just starting though, because
in 2007. But I'm talking about 2000. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm talking about 2000. This is when I first moved down here. But then in 2007, when I formed Biltmore Records, I was like, the internet is starting. I looked at it. I was okay. This is a digital platform that you can kind of create music and put it out on. I was like, well, I want to be a part of that. So I was still rapping at the time. I met Paul, who was an old rock and roll dude, one of the coolest guys in the world. Paul. You remember Paul, right? So Paul had a studio. He's from New Orleans. He had a studio. He moved out here. He had a studio in Charlotte, and I met him, and we just started rocking out or whatever. So I was going there making records, but he played the guitar, and that's where I was like, I'm gonna make a record. I'm gonna make my own label. I'm gonna make a record. And I'm just gonna put it out and see what happens online. I put the record out, and a lot of influences because Paul liked rock, and we were just—he was making stuff up, and I was just like, whatever. I'm always trying to be different. I'm definitely from a time period where you have to be different. So I created a record that was different, the most different thing that I can come up with, and that's what I started with. So I put the record out, and that was Biltmore Records. After that record, which was the initial record, I started to say, okay, now let me look for some artists. You know what I mean? And I went online. That was in 2007. I dropped the record, and I was like, okay, set up a little website, and okay, now I can build. And the idea was, because there was no music industry presence in Charlotte, North Carolina, you know, I wanted to create it. I knew I had connections back in New York, where I come from, as far as, you know, connections to label, because we've had a lot of artists on the label, you know what I mean? But the website's changed 3 times since you know, the first time we were just adding people as we went, and I think we had like 15 people on that website at one point. Remember? We had a lot of people, you know what I mean? And but that part didn't work out. But as far as, you know, when I was looking online, I was like, I had the studio in my house, but I was looking online trying to find, you know, an artist, a young artist, because I didn't want to. I was like, I want to be the label. I don't want to be the artist anymore. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I kind of set it up. I used my record as a test to see how the digital market worked, because it was just starting. So I just wanted to kind of feel it out. And I was like, okay, this can work. Let me go and, you know, find an artist and do it again and do it again. So that's when I was listening online and looking online, and you were online just kicking, you know what I mean? You say kicking ass and taking names. I was like, who's this kid? And I was listening to it, and I was looking for somebody in North Carolina. But when I heard you, and you was like beating people from California, New York, it was like going in. And it was like, and it was official shit, you know what I mean? I'm from New York, so I'm used to hip hop. I'm here. I'm about lyrics. I'm about, you know, who you are, where you come from. Like a lot of that plays into the music and what you're saying, how you say it, and you identify it. So the way I look at artists, they don't really look at them this way now, but the way artists generally, when they say, oh, that's a real artist or whatever, it's because it's were they from the struggle? Did they overcome the struggle? Now, what are they talking about? You know what I mean? How are they putting it in there? And the way they use their words will identify whether or not, you know, they're from where I'm from. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's kind of where you take it. So I just saw that you were like beating people from all over in these hood, you know what I mean? And not even just beating them. I knew you beat them, even though before, whether or not what the judge said, they obviously said you won. But even close battles, like you were both nice, but you were better. You see what I'm saying? Exactly. So I was like, yo, I had to get in contact with this kid. That would be the perfect, you know, someone just coming up young. He was 19. I was like, okay, right age, you know what I mean, for someone who's trying to get into the game, you know what I mean, and start building his career. So that's when I reached out to you. I was just like, yo, you know.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Let's see what we can do. So, yeah, that, and then from there, you know what I mean, like you said, we've been grinding out, you know, just trying to, you know, put music. I mean, we've been putting music out. You know, I've been working full-time, going to school, and doing Biltmore Records for a long time, for a long part of this. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so have you. I mean, I know you've been doing your thing. It's not just in the struggle what it lacks. When we go back to the paradigm, it's like, yeah, you guys can talk about you got all this money, or you can talk about everything that you're talking about, but it's not real. You know what I mean? It's not my everyday. You know what I mean? Or even if it's not my everyday, but at least they're not meeting you where you are. They're kind of up here.
It's not coming from a real place, man. Like, where I'm at right now, I'm just coming from a real place. Like, if I was broke Wednesday, like, I'm going to tell you that. Like, like, I used to be that type of rapper, though. Like, I got a Bentley. Like, I don't. You know, I used to be that dude when I was younger, but now it's just more like, you know, I'm just going to give you the real, like, and accept me or don't accept me. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at with it right now. Like,
right.
And that's it for now for the Verbal Graffiti Podcast, Episode 7. Just remember to go ahead and download that record called Dreamin' by Hugo Da Capo. It's on iTunes and Google Play or your favorite online retailer. Now, this podcast can be found on iTunes and Android as well. Our official website is Verbal Graffiti Podcast. The record label's website is BiltmoreRecords.com. So definitely go ahead and check those two out for the podcast. You can get more information on the show. And the show notes for each episode on verbalgraffitipodcast.com, or we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Good evening, and thank you again for joining in. And as always, we just want to provide something of value that you can immediately apply to your life and share with others. Hopefully we did that today. And until next week, peace.